Last year, we saw two assassination attempts on President Donald Trump, and a few days ago, we saw the assassination of Charlie Kirk, a young man who gently yet persuasively debated students on college campuses. While many mourn Charlie's death, some have praised his execution. We truly need to return God, prayer, the Bible, and the Ten Commandments to our lives and schools, and cry out to God in prayer for this nation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
As Charlie Kirk was assassinated, many people mourned, some cheered. We talked about that last week, about really how we could come to a place in this country where someone could be assassinated just for what they believe in. And if you missed that sermon, you can actually go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, or our church Facebook or YouTube channels, and you can see those, that video. You can watch that. Many people would assume that after he's dead, though, that it's over. And of course, his life here on earth is over. But there's a important principle that we're going to look at today, where Christians, when they are killed for their faith, their lives, their death can actually have a bigger impact. They can have a bigger impact in their death and after their death than they had before their death. And this principle that really doesn't make a lot of sense to the natural mind, but it is a biblical principle, and it's a principle that we are taught in the Bible from Jesus himself, and Jesus himself implemented this principle. You see, Jesus actually came to this earth and lived for 30 years and did not enter into ministry until he was 30 years old. And he actually only served for 3 years in ministry. And then he was executed. He was crucified. And so we're going to look at the teachings of Jesus, what Jesus told his disciples about suffering, what he told his disciples about laying down their lives for him, taking up their cross, and really also look at the impact of the death of Jesus, how the apostles died, the early church, how many of them were martyred, and then even talk about some of the new interest, the amazing amount of new interest in Turning Point after Charlie Kirk's assassination. So first of all, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" So they answered and said to him, "John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say one of the old prophets has risen again." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And he strictly warned them and commanded them to tell no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." Now, this is really remarkable when you think about it. No one actually comes into life and plans to do something so that they could actually fail. There are teams playing football today. There are teams playing baseball. Certainly, there are other sports that are played throughout the year. And even now, there are other sports that are being played. And Every team that goes out, every individual that goes out, is going out trying to win. Every person in life wants to win. We all want to be successful. We want to do great things. And yet Jesus here is saying that he came to lose, basically. He came to be actually turned against. He came for people to reject him. He came for people to reject his message and actually reject him to the point that they would even put him to death, that they would execute him. And certainly this seemed like the end. And I'm sure that Carmen actually had a song about this, about how the devil rejoicing when Jesus was crucified and all of hell actually having a party. And then 3 days later, you actually see Jesus being raised from the dead and the demons just trembling when they realized that they had been defeated. And so Jesus here is telling them that he came to this earth so that people could actually reject him and crucify him. It was necessary. You see, Christ could not have atoned for our sins without dying on the cross. And for him to die on the cross, the Jewish leaders needed to reject him, and they needed to actually call upon the people to reject him and to crucify him. This was necessary for Jesus to actually make atonement for our sins. And so he's telling them, hey, I'm going to suffer. Many things, bad things are going to happen to me. They're actually even going to kill me. And this is really what he had come for. And then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, today, the cross is a piece of jewelry. Today, the cross is something that people wear to actually show their faith in Christ. But in those days, the cross was a method of execution. And even today, there are places in the world today where it is illegal to be a Christian and to convert to Christianity. And if people do convert to Christianity, one of the things that can happen is they can be, and very often are, executed for their faith. So when Jesus here is telling his disciples that they need to take up their cross and follow him, he's telling them, you need to be willing to lay down your life. Now, certainly, they didn't fully understand and comprehend the depth of what he was explaining to them. But they would know when he hung on that cross, really, the depth of what he was talking about, how they needed to be willing to suffer. They needed to be willing to die. They needed to be willing to lay down their lives so that they could die to themselves to live for Christ. And certainly in America, most people aren't put to death for their beliefs. But increasingly, we are seeing violence, and we are seeing people that want to take matters into their own hands. They come in contact with someone like Charlie Kirk, who actually has powerful arguments that show that what they believe is not true and is a lie, and show that the Word of God is true. And rather than change their beliefs because their lie is exposed, and realizing that they made a mistake and changing their beliefs, what happens is someone actually killed him. And we saw last year 2 attempts on President Trump's life as well. And certainly there are others that have received death threats as well, even in this country. But for most of us, most of us probably, unless things get worse, are not going to face physical death. But we still need to be willing to suffer. We need to be willing to endure ridicule. We need to be willing to have people think ill of us, to think bad of us. We need to be willing to actually suffer some consequences for our faith. And Jesus here is telling them, if you want to come after me, take up your cross and follow me. Verse 24, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. And so you see here, Jesus is telling them, if you want to save your life, you need to be willing to lose it. You need to lay down your life. And you need to realize that, listen, you can win. You can win, win, win. You can be a champion. You can win in life. You can win in business. You can win in sports. You can accomplish great things. But if you do that to the exclusion of your soul and taking care of your soul, in fact, if you deny Christ, he will deny you. And we have a responsibility to actually live for God and to put Jesus first place, to be willing to have someone make fun of us, to be willing to actually be fired because we stand up for Christ, to be willing to be ridiculed, to be willing to be made fun of, to be willing, even if necessary, to suffer physical harm for our faith. And certainly this is a principle that Jesus not only talked about, this is a principle that he also lived out. And then we're going to go to John chapter 12. And what was happening in John chapter 12 is that Jesus had the triumphal entry into Jerusalem in John chapter 12. The people were having laying down their clothes and the palm branches on the ground, and he was coming on this colt. And there was talk about Lazarus, and people were believing in Jesus, not only because of Jesus, but also because Lazarus had been raised from the dead. And in verse 17 of John chapter 12, we read, therefore the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, you see that we are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. And so you see that really they're jealous. They were, that was the whole thing. They wanted to be viewed in the people's eyes as great leaders and holy and righteous. And Jesus was really messing up that goal that they had. And the people were going after him, and they were saying, listen, hey, can't you see the whole world is going after him and we're really accomplishing nothing? And so then in verse 20, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. So these were Gentiles, people that weren't Jewish people, that came up to worship at the feast. And they actually came, and they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip came to Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And so Jesus here is showing them that his hour of suffering has come. He knew within 1 week he would actually be executed. He would be crucified. And he tells them that, listen, this is necessary. This is a principle that if a seed falls into the ground and dies, it bears forth much fruit. If it remains alone and doesn't die, well, it doesn't bear fruit. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it bears forth much fruit. And he's telling them this and telling them that if you love your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to lay down your life for me, that you're going to gain your life for eternity. And then in verse 26, he says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And so he's telling them, listen, I don't want to go through this. Jesus himself, God Almighty, who knew that it was necessary for him to come to this earth, the very reason and purpose that he came to this earth was what he was about to accomplish with his sufferings and with the crucifixion. That was the very purpose that he had come to this earth. Yet, he didn't want to undergo that. He didn't want to experience that suffering. He wanted that to pass from him. He pled in the Garden of Gethsemane that that would pass from him. And yet, he was willing because he knew that this was necessary. And he says, Father, glorify your name. And this is in verse 28. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come from me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. And so Jesus here is really showing them, listen, I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. And even though it will look like I am defeated, even though it will look like the devil has won, 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And really, Jesus, in his death, accomplished more than he would have accomplished had he lived out a full human life here on this earth. Certainly, we would have had, could have had more teaching. We could have had more of an example of how to live. But Jesus showed us an example of not only how to live, but how to actually lay down your life for God. And set an example of how we should lay down our lives for God. And really what you see is Jesus Christ accomplishing more in his death. And of course, he didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead. And then he walked with the disciples and appeared to the disciples and stayed with them for a period of time before he was raised up into heaven. His purpose on earth was fulfilled. Certainly, he came to teach. He came to show us what Jesus would do. You know, the bracelets, what would Jesus do? Well, he showed us what Jesus did. And one of the things that Jesus did was he laid down his life for us. And he said, if you want to follow after me, lay down your life for me. Take up your cross and follow me. Be willing to fall into the ground and die. Be willing to even be executed for my sake. And really, it wasn't just Jesus that followed this, but really, many of the apostles followed this and met a similar fate to the fate of Jesus. And not only that, but many Christians in that time actually were executed for their faith. And we're going to look at the apostles and also someone that wasn't an apostle but was actually martyred. And we see this in the book of Acts, that Stephen was actually stoned to death. And he was stoned to death as people laid their garments at Saul's feet. And Saul was persecuting the church. And we know that Saul actually had orders with him allowing him to persecute Christians and to arrest Christians. And yet God met Saul and did a work in his life. And one of the things that God said is, I'm going to show you how much you must suffer for my sake. Matthew met his end in Ethiopia, suffering martyrdom by a sword wound. His death marks a beginning, not an end, to the spreading of the gospel truths. Mark's journey concluded in Alexandria, Egypt, where he was dragged through the streets by horses until his demise. His legacy, however, continued to galvanize believers. Luke was hanged in Greece, a fate met due to his fervent preaching. His words live on, reaching those he never met. John experienced what can only be described as a miraculous escape from death when he survived being boiled in oil in Rome. Though he later lived in exile on the Isle of Patmos, it was there he penned the book of Revelation. Returning to serve as bishop of Edessa, John passed away peacefully, the only apostle to do so. Peter's end came on an X-shaped cross, a choice he made, feeling unworthy to die as Jesus did. His crucifixion upside down speaks volumes of his humility and devotion. James, leader of the church in Jerusalem, faced death by being thrown from the temple's pinnacle, only to be beaten to death upon surviving the fall. His steadfastness in faith, even to death, echoes through time. James, the son of Zebedee, leadership and dedication to the ministry were cut short by beheading in Jerusalem. His defense of the faith inspired even his executioner to convert and accept the same fate. Bartholomew's missionary work took him far, but it was in Armenia where he met his end, martyrdom by being flayed alive. His commitment to spreading the word was unyielding. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece, enduring prolonged agony to preach to his tormentors until his last breath. His words, even in the face of death, were of love and faith. Thomas's missionary endeavors in India ended when he was stabbed with a spear. His efforts to establish the church there laid foundations that would outlast his mortal life. Jude was killed with arrows for refusing to renounce his faith, a testament to his unwavering belief in Christ's teaching. Matthias, chosen to replace Judas, was stoned and then beheaded, enduring a martyr's death for his steadfast faith in Jesus. Paul faced torture and ultimately was beheaded by Nero in Rome. His writings, born from imprisonment, continue to guide and inspire the Christian faith around the world. And it wasn't just the apostles, but Christians for four centuries were actually executed and actually thrown to the lions and were tortured for their faith. And really, 400 years later, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. In their death, the seeds of the martyr actually produced greater fruit than would have happened if they had lived. And we're starting to see this even with Charlie Kirk's assassination. Within 1 week of Charlie Kirk's assassination, over 54,000 students have contacted Turning Point USA to sign up and to be a part of Turning Point USA. They are getting requests to start new chapters, and they are expanding to not only college, but also K through 12 right now. And this new interest, people are coming to church and coming to Christ right now. People are watching his videos, and his work will continue even and will be even greater with his death than it was before. Now to him who was able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Last year, we saw two assassination attempts on President Donald Trump, and a few days ago, we saw the assassination of Charlie Kirk, a young man who gently yet persuasively debated students on college campuses. While many mourn Charlie's death, some have praised his execution. We truly need to return God, prayer, the Bible, and the Ten Commandments to our lives and schools, and cry out to God in prayer for this nation.
Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton of Just a Voice Radio Ministry, broadcasting here on WCNO 89.9, Saturdays, 5 a.m. and p.m. Come on and join us. Hope to see you there.
Experience resurrection life.
We walk by faith, not by sight. Every time you lay your head down, you may not have got everything right that day, but when you lay your head down, you got to know these things. All he needs is faith. That's the currency.
No more church as usual. Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Visit us in person at 405 Exoria Avenue in Fort Pierce or online at trbanks.com.
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station, WCNO.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.